scriptures reading this morning will be there in Ezekiel chapter 34, verses 5 through 8. Ezekiel chapter 34, verses 5 through 8. We're reading from the New King James Version. So they were scattered because there was no shepherd, and they became food for all the beasts of the field when they were scattered. My sheep wandered through all the mountains and on every high hill. My flock was scattered over the whole face of the earth, and no one was seeking or searching for them. Therefore, you shepherds, hear the word of the Lord. As I live, says the Lord God, surely because my flock became prey, and my flock became food for every beast of the field, because there was no shepherd, nor did my shepherd search for my flock, but the shepherds fed themselves and did not feed my flock.
Good morning. Glad to see everyone here with us this morning. As we started last week, in studies of 1 Timothy on matters crucial to congregational success, this is our second in the series. As we talked about earlier in our discussion last week, in 1 Timothy chapter 3, verses 14 and 15, we read, "These things I write to you, though I hope to come to you shortly, but if I am delayed, I write so that you may know how you ought to conduct yourself in the house of God, which is the church of the living God, the pillar and ground of the truth." And as we said last week, every church needs to know how to conduct its affairs so that it might please God. And so today, as we study together, we're going to look at 1 Timothy chapter 3 and what it has to say to us about leadership. 1 Timothy chapter 3 and what it has to say to us about leadership. Number one, friends, leadership comes from many different sources. And we see that throughout the book of 1 Timothy. We have the eldership mentioned here in 1 Timothy 3, verses 1 through 7. We see there both the spiritual and the domestic qualifications of those that would be elders. We have those that are deacons. And we have just placed in three men to be our deacons here. Deacons simply being a servant. They will have a specific role and things that they will oversee and then report back to the elders with what they are looking over. Also, we have, friends, the wives of the elders and deacons mentioned in 1 Timothy chapter 3, 11. They have a leadership role. Other women within the congregation look up to the wives of the elders and the deacons. They have that leadership. Leadership comes from the pulpit. 1 Timothy 4 and verse 6, verses 12 through 16. You see Timothy being there, a young man, a young preacher of the gospel, and it was he that was given the task of setting up elderships, as it were, and giving them the qualification wherever he might be going to preach. But friends, it also comes from the pew. You know that? Leadership comes from the pew. Acts 18, 24-26, 1 Corinthians 16 and verse 15. Friends, we all, as Christians, are called upon to be leaders in some capacity. There are those that are going to be looking at us in our day-to-day lives to see how it is that we live, how it is that we conduct ourselves, friends, and we lead in that way. Leadership comes from many different sources. But our study this morning in particular is going to pertain to the eldership. Because, friends, many congregations, really all congregations, will go the way of her eldership. So that's where we're going to concentrate our study this morning. In Titus chapter 1 and verse 5, Paul wrote to Titus, "For this cause I left thee in Crete, to set in order those things that are lacking, and appoint elders in every church as I commanded you." Friends, I want us to notice something first and foremost about what Paul wrote here to Titus. Notice that he told Titus that those churches that were without elders, they had something lacking. They weren't yet complete. They weren't yet whole because they did not have the leadership in place that they needed. And so Titus was told that he was left to set in order those things that are lacking, those things that are wanting, and appoint elders in every church as I commanded you. So what does Paul essentially tell Titus? Friends, leadership is a necessity. Leadership within a congregation, if that congregation is going to be successful, is a necessity. In the little town where I grew up, there are a couple of congregations there that have existed for 40 years or more, probably much more, and they have existed that long without an eldership. Guess how much they've grown? They haven't. They haven't grown one bit. As a matter of fact, you go and you talk to folks within those congregations, and they don't do anything outside of get together on Sunday to hear a sermon, partake of the Lord's Supper, and to read Scripture and say a couple of prayers. They do nothing in the community. There are no mission works going on. There's no community outreach. There are no fellowship outside of them coming together for those worship services. There's no leadership. Those congregations haven't grown, and many of them, I know of two or three that within my lifetime, have shut their doors because they had no vision, they had no leadership. Friends, leadership is a necessity, it's an absolute necessity, and it's how God set up His church. Leadership, friends, is an absolute necessity, number one, for survival. Victor read for us Ezekiel 34, verses 5 through 8, and we notice there in that particular passage, friends, that without a shepherd, without proper shepherding, sheep are soon scattered. You see it as well in Matthew 9 and verse 36. Sheep become easy prey. You think about that, friends. If you have a flock of sheep out in a pasture and there's no shepherd, how easy is it for a coyote to slip in and take whatever he wants of the flock? Or a wolf, as it were, as they had more experience with in that particular part of the world. A bear, as David had to fight off as a shepherd, or a lion. How easy is it? Without that leadership, friends, sheep cannot survive. You see that example in those small congregations in my hometown. They dwindle till finally they have to close their doors. They're scattered. They're easy prey. Friends, without proper shepherding, sheep lose their way home and they are not sought. They lose their way home and they are not sought. Friends, without proper shepherding, it's easy for folks to wander. We need leaders. We find elders, as described in Acts 20 and verse 28, are to be overseers. We read there in Acts chapter 20 and verse 28, "Take heed therefore to yourselves and to all the flock on which the Holy Ghost hath made you overseers, to feed the church of God which he hath purchased with his own blood." Friends, that's part of the job of an elder, is to oversee the congregation, to overlook the congregation so that they can see, so that they will know if one happens to be going astray, so that they can go and bring him back, so that they do not become easy prey, so that, friends, they will not be scattered. That's the idea there of an overseer. It comes from the word episkopos. One, that is, one responsible for, one who cares for, a guardian, or a keeper. One who is responsible for, who cares for, who is a guardian or a keeper. In James 1 and verse 27, we read that we are to visit the fatherless and the widows. And friends, the idea there behind visit, and this goes especially for elders, the idea there behind visit in James 1 and verse 27, pure religion and undefiled before God and the Father is this, to visit the fatherless and widows in their affliction and to keep himself unspotted from the world. The idea, friends, is to look with intent to assist. To look with intent to assist. It's part of the job of an elder. It's to visit. To know his flock. To oversee and to assist them when assistance is needed. To see, friends, that they do not scatter, that they do not stray, that they always know the way home. And when they do fall away, when they do stray away, they seek them out and are desirous to bring them back. Friends, leadership is an absolute necessity for steering. For steering. Turn with me, if you will, to the book of Jeremiah. Jeremiah chapter 2, and I want us to notice verses 6 through 8. Jeremiah chapter 2, verses 6 through 8. Leadership is an absolute necessity for steering. We read in Jeremiah 2, beginning in verse 6. Neither said they, where is the Lord that brought us up out of the land of Egypt, that led us through the wilderness, through a land of deserts and of pits, through a land of drought, and of the shadow of death, through a land that no man passed through and where no man dwelt. And I brought you into a plentiful country to eat the fruit thereof and the goodness thereof. But when ye entered, ye defiled my land and made mine heritage an abomination. The priests said not, where is the Lord? And they that handled the law knew me not. The pastors also transgressed against me, and the prophets prophesied by Baal, and walked after things that do not profit. What is Jeremiah saying, friends? They weren't being steered as they ought to be steered. They weren't being driven, that is, by the shepherds, by those that were to be looking after them. There's the idea of the word pastor there found in Jeremiah 2 and verse 8. They transgressed rather than steered. In 1 Peter 5, 1 through 4, the gist of that particular passage, Peter tells those that are elders, he says, shepherd, guide the flock that is among you. You know, a shepherd had several different jobs, didn't he? He led the flock to green pastures. He led them to water. He steered them, as it were, in the way that they needed to go. He kept them from danger. When danger called, he protected them. All of these things a shepherd did. And so Peter says, shepherd, be active. Shepherd the flock that is among you. 1 Timothy chapter 3 and verse 2 says that they are to be apt to teach. They are to actively teach the flock. Part of that is finding someone, as it were, to fill the pulpit. We have a couple of gospel meetings scheduled this year with two very fine speakers, and they will be breaking unto us the bread of life during that week. We have another summer series scheduled that I'm very excited about, based out of the book of Nehemiah, breaking again unto us the words of life. That's part of what they do, is to bring to us, friends, and teach to us the Word of God. Whether it's they themselves or whether they ask someone to do it, knowing that they are sound in the faith. In Titus 1, verses 9 through 11, Paul tells Titus there that elders are to be able to exhort and convince. Exhort and convince. They were to be able to convict or convince the gainsayers. That is, those that were out trying to do anything they could to turn the preaching of the gospel into a profit. Be able to exhort. Build one up. There's more to exhortation than that. Exhortation also contains warning. It's part of the job of a shepherd. Leadership is an absolute necessity for steering. It's an absolute necessity for success. Leadership is an absolute necessity for success. As you go back to the Old Testament, you look at Israel and its early days, they were marked by capable leadership. When you look at the time of Moses in Exodus 18, 13 through 27, we see there his capability as a leader. He interceded on their behalf as well, didn't he? God was going to destroy them. He was going to start all over with Moses. Now, he would still have been keeping his promise to Abraham because Moses was part of his seed. But when he said that to Moses, Moses told him not to do it. He interceded on their behalf. He looked after them. He led them. Their early days were marked by capable leaders. You look at Joshua. What was said of the people of Israel during Joshua's day? What was his challenge even unto the people? As for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. Those are the words that we remember most of Joshua's, aren't they? Oftentimes you enter someone's house, and a lot of times over the mantle, or even as you enter the doorway, you see that quote hanging above or hanging around. As for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. That's Joshua. Israel's early days were marked by capable leadership. And they were successful. Moses successfully guided them through 40 years in the wilderness. Joshua successfully guided them into the land of Canaan. And they possessed all the land that God had promised unto them. But if we look further, we look in the book of Judges, we see that Israel's downfalls were marked by a failure in leadership. After the death of Joshua, they were only faithful until the elders that outlived Joshua, until they died. And then they began to falter. We see that in Judges 2 and verse 10. In Judges 17 and verse 6, and as well as verse 21, chapter 21 and verse 25, we read this concerning Israel. In those days there was no king in Israel, and every man did that which was right in his own eyes. They forgot the law of God because they didn't have any capable leaders. They dropped the ball, as it were. Jeremiah 10 and verse 23. One of my favorite verses in all the Bible. Jeremiah simply says, O Lord, I know that the way of man is not in himself. It is not in man that walketh to direct his own steps. In Proverbs 14 and verse 12, we read this. There is a way which seemeth right unto a man. But the Proverbs writer says, but the end thereof are the ways of death. So friends, you think about what Jeremiah says, you think about what the Proverbs writer says, and you apply it to Israel during the time of the judges, and you find just that. By them doing that which was right, every man in his own eyes, what happened to them? Friends, there were 7 major oppressions recorded in the book of Judges. Why was that? They failed to follow God. They didn't have strong leaders leading them in that way, and so they failed to follow God. You look at Rehoboam. He failed to take the advice of his father's advisors and lighten the load, and so the nation split. But now you have the northern kingdom and the southern kingdom, and Jeroboam came back and he became king of the northern kingdom, and to keep the people from going back to Jerusalem, going back to Rehoboam, going back to the kingdom of Judah, he set up an idol in the north and an idol in the south. Said, Jerusalem is too far. He wasn't a very good leader. What about Ahab? He wasn't a very good leader either, was he? The man married Jezebel. That right there ought to tell you that he wasn't a very good judge of character. Jezebel killed so that he would have a vineyard that was not his. Ahab tried to reach out and put his hands on a prophet because he prophesied against it, telling him the truth of God's word. You remember his hand withered. The list goes on and on. The northern kingdom of Israel didn't have a single good king. And the good kings of Judah were few and far between. They lacked leadership. And so they could not have success. And friends, that's it in a nutshell. The church, at 9th and Main or anywhere else, The church cannot succeed without capable leadership. A successful shepherd knows his sheep. John 10, 2 through 4, verse 27 as well. Jesus, talking about a shepherd, he calls them by name. He knows his sheep. A shepherd, an elder, is to get to know his sheep. He leads them. Shows them the way in which they ought to go. And friends, the sheep will follow. When he's able to call them by name and when he leads them properly, the sheep follow because they know his voice. But friends, let me make this clear. Having an eldership, and I've seen this too many times, and talked to good friends of mine that are preaching in locations, that they have an eldership, but they don't necessarily have leadership. I believe with all my heart we have three very capable men here leading this congregation. And my prayer is, as it should be each one of ours, is that they would continue to lead us in the way that God would have us to go, steering us according to His Word. But friends, the reason that I bring this point up is that having an eldership is not the same as having leadership, friends. So what happens 10, 15, 20 years down the road when these men, maybe their health will not permit them to serve. Maybe they move. What happens at 9th and Main? What happens then? Do we put men in just to have an eldership, friends? Or will we prepare ourselves, men, to fill that role? To be the leaders that God's people deserve. And to lead God's people in the way that He would have them to go. Friends, leadership requires more than looking at contribution each week and making sure that we can pay the bills. Leadership demands assuming and delegating authority. Look at Acts 6, verses 2 through 4. Look at the example here of the apostles. Acts 6, beginning in verse 2. Then the 12 called the multitude of the disciples unto them and said, it is not reason that we should leave the word of God and serve tables. Wherefore, brethren, look ye out among you, serving seven men of honest report, full of the Holy Ghost and wisdom, whom we may appoint over this business, but we will give ourselves continually to prayer and to the ministry of the word. What were the apostles doing at that point? They told the people, you go and choose seven men, and we will delegate authority to them to go out and take care of this thing. Take care of the widows was the major complaint of the time. They are to assume that authority and delegate it. To be sure that the work gets done. Leadership, friends, finds work for everyone to do. Leadership finds work for everyone to do. You see it in Matthew 25, 14 through 30. Jesus teaching them that they were to work. Friends, leadership requires vision. It requires boldness and it requires the ability to make the right decision. But not just make the right decision, friends, stand by it. To stand by that decision based upon the Word of God. Too many times you'll find an eldership that will make the right decision according to the Word of God, and yet when maybe a younger element within the particular congregation or that church begins to buck them about it, they'll waver. They won't stand by the decision. Friends, an eldership, a leader, needs to have vision, needs to have boldness and the ability to make that decision and stand by it. But friends, this church, the congregation here at 9th and Main, stands on the threshold of accomplishing great things. I truly believe that. We have a membership that is grounded in and appreciates Bible truth. You don't find that a whole lot anymore. And I appreciate that from the very depths of my heart. That we have a membership that so much appreciates Bible truth. We have members who are faithful and ready to work. Friends, we stand on the threshold of accomplishing great things. This church stands on the threshold of accomplishing great things, friends, because we support some good missionaries. And we are doing great things via television, radio, and internet. We've got some things in the works as far as radio goes. We've had some things going on YouTube that I know that we have reached several that are now attending congregations wherever that may be across this country. Rick was telling me the other day about someone that he's got an ongoing weekly Bible study with in Canada. All because of our efforts that we're making through the internet. We have a solid blend of youth, of young adults, and then we have the wisdom of the aged and experienced as well. We've got a solid blend of the congregation here. We stand at the threshold of accomplishing some great things. But friends, we will never realize the greatness of God that God desires of us without leadership. And friends, as sheep, we will never realize the greatness God desires of us without following our leaders as they lead us in the ways of God's Word. The book of 1 Timothy contains within it a wealth of knowledge. 1 Timothy 3 tells us a great deal about leadership. And friends, believe me when I say to you that we are fortunate to have three relatively young men in the role of shepherds, the role of elders. Many times what you'll find within a congregation is those that are qualified to be elders are aged and just really can't do much because of their health or other reasons. We're fortunate. Not only do we have three relatively young men, but we have three relatively young men that are knowledgeable in the Bible, that are eager to do what is right and are eager, friends, to lead this congregation outwards and upwards. To see that each one of us is following God's Word. But friends, as I asked a moment ago, young men in particular, what happens down the road? If you're at this congregation, or whatever congregation you may find yourself at, when those capable leaders go the way of all the earth, you see, Joshua failed in one respect. He didn't find someone to take his place as Moses had, to lead the people. Hopefully our elders, I'm sure that they will groom men to take that role. But friends, it's up to you and I as well to groom ourselves to be the leaders that God's people deserves. Friends, as we take our self-examination and we think about leadership within the Lord's church, you think about what Paul wrote to Timothy in 1 Timothy chapter 3. And let us strive to do all that we can to see that we meet those qualifications of the leaders that Timothy gives. Leadership comes from all places. Friends, find your role. Lead in the way that God would have you to lead. Friends, be sure that you submit yourselves to the leaders that we have now. be sure, friends, that above all, as we look in the mirror of God's Word, that we do all that He calls upon us to do. Let's put away our Bibles. Let's take out our songbook. We're ready to sing the invitation song here in just a moment. Friends, where do you stand this morning? Do you stand without the leadership of God? That is, you've never obeyed the gospel of Jesus Christ. For He is the head of the church. He established it, friends, by dying upon the cross and shedding His life's blood. He delegates His authority then to the elders, who will then delegate it to deacons and on down to each one of us. But friends, in His Word, Jesus says that we must hear His Word, believe it, repent of sin, friends, confess Him before men, and be baptized and immersed in water for the forgiveness of those sins. Friends, would you submit yourself this morning to the leadership of Jesus the Christ? Obeying His Word, coming to Him, and being His forevermore. Friend, are you here having obeyed the gospel, but you've fallen away? Would you come home? Would you be His again?